Well, good morning. Great to have you with us today. Isn't it great to just escape from the world for a little bit and worship? That's what we want to talk about today as we think about churches that are making an impact in their community. One of the things that they discovered in their study is that worship was powerful in those churches. And that doesn't mean it was professionally done. It doesn't mean they had all the streamers going and the lights are zigzagging and the right kind of music. What they noticed in the churches that were making an impact in their community was there was a worship from the heart in the people and the followers of Christ. You know, when we gather together as the body of Christ, where should our focus be? On Christ. And as we come together, as we set our goal together to focus on Christ and to be focused on a worship of the great God that we serve, it should be a special time. It should be a supernatural experience. Where you experience the presence of the living God and it impacts your life for the rest of your week. I don't know about you, but that's what I long for. That's what I long for when I gather together and worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what I'm praying will happen somehow through the foolishness of what is preached. That it won't be Mark speaking, but that somehow a nugget of truth from God Himself will find its way into your heart that you might apply to your life. And if you get one nugget, that's enough for me. As long as it's from God. You see, it's not about us. It's about Him. And so we want to talk today about a personal encounter. We want to talk about the fact that the living God wants to personally come and encounter you this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. When you think about how huge and enormous the universe is, I mean, we're talking, was it billions and billions of light years or something like that? I mean, there's probably galaxies out there that we've never discovered yet. And the God who created it all cares about each and every one of you. That means something special. And so when we gather together in His name, we need to set our focus on Him. So let's just take some time to do that right now in prayer, okay? God, we thank You that You are a God who cares for each and every individual that's here today. And I know we have come from a different week for some of us. Each one of us has had different experiences. Some of us have experienced loss. Some of us have been challenged with bad news from the doctors. Others, Lord, have had a great week, a week of blessing. Lord, none of these experiences are one better than the other. They're part of life. But the thing that draws us together is a common thread. The thread that God, our Heavenly Father, loves each and every one of us. And He wants to speak to each and every one of us in the midst of our circumstances. There is no way that any preacher could preach a sermon that would address each and every need. But there is a Holy Spirit that is present. A Spirit that speaks to each and every heart. Lord, we pray that Spirit right now would reveal Himself to us. And as we hear from Your Word, as You speak to us by Your Spirit, we pray that You will help us to grasp that which You are wanting to speak to us this morning. This is not a vain, repetitious offering that we come to give You once a week, Lord. This is a personal time to encounter the living God. And we pray that You will indeed meet us where we are and challenge us where we need to be challenged so that we will be forever different because of the encounter we have with the living God. Without You, this is an empty, empty time. But with You, it will change the course of our eternity and our future. Lord, we pray that we will hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen. Preparation, it's something I think we need to understand as a part of coming together to worship. Thursday, I went out for the first time and tried my hand at hunting. Man, that's a lot of fun. I see what you guys get so fired up about. waking up at 5 in the morning, putting up a bunch of clothes on, dressing up as warm as you can. Brad took me out on a four-wheeler for the first time in my life. I thought it was going to be the last time in my life. As we're riding along in the dark and I'm holding on for dear life on the back of that thing, and he's driving me through creeks and up mountains and around folds that I can't see, and I just say, I hope that he sees something I can't. After about an hour and a half, 2 hours of sitting in the cold and watching snow follow me, and I was really prepared. I had a black coat on. I didn't have one of those great sabotage, you know, camouflage coats on. And sitting there and my black coat becoming white because of all the snow falling on us, I looked over and Brad said, "Man, you sure know how to show a good guy a good time." My limbs freezing off. Man, I understand what y'all get so fired up about. And the dumb thing is, I went out again two more times trying to get one of those things. And I'll go out again this week because I invested that money. I've made the preparation. And if I've made all the preparation, what do I want to do? I want to get something. So my question is, do you want to get something this morning? Have you made the preparation? Did you get up this morning? And I know one of the things I used to struggle with my fantasy football. Y'all know, some of y'all know I'm into fantasy football. I used to struggle with fantasy football Sunday mornings. I had to swear off of it because it was distracting me from my worship. So if I haven't taken care of it by Friday night, or the Saturday night at the latest, it's done. Because I need to be focused on worship. He's my focus. He's what I'm wanting to hear from today. He's the one that I'm wanting to praise and adore today. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. For the Lord is great and highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." You see, God wants us to understand, as He writes through His prophet, as He writes through 1 Chronicles, He's wanting us to understand that worship is to be God-centered. It's not to be focused on you and me, it's to be focused on God. And when we come together and we worship, it's not to see how everybody's dressed. You know, that used to be the thing on Easter Sunday, right? See everybody's new Easter clothes and see their Easter bonnets and see how everybody wore their new suits. I mean, that was the highlight of my year as a little kid, getting my new suit or my new clothes for Easter. But it wasn't about the clothes. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about setting our focus on Him. And too often when we come together, we come asking, what can the church give me in worship? And worship is about, what can I give God today? And that's a big difference in the way you approach this time together. There's a lot of blessing that comes from being a part of the body of Christ, from worshiping. We're going to talk about that. But everything that is done here should be done to set our eyes on one thing and one thing alone, and that is God. He is the focus of this time together. And so as we do that, I loved what Brad said, Greg said earlier. Worship is a personal thing, and we're going to talk about that. Worship is something that happens between you and your Creator, you and your Savior, you and your Redeemer. So tune in to hear what He has to say to you today and respond to it. As we look at worship in this passage, it describes several things. The first thing it teaches us is that it is a call to faith in God. It says, "Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim His salvation from day to day." One of the things that should happen in worship is that we proclaim the salvation of the Lord. I think I've told you this example before, but I think it's worthy of mentioning again. A friend of mine had a daughter that was going to University of Kentucky, and she was looking for a church to attend, and she would go to these churches, and she got to, it got to the point where she just started keeping track of how long it took them in the service to get to where they mentioned the name of Jesus. And she found that typically she might get 20, 30 minutes into a worship service before Jesus was ever even mentioned. Sometimes she went through an entire worship at a church where the name of Jesus was never mentioned in prayer, in song, in sermon. Now, you almost have to be intentional to do that, don't you? I'm going to say it to make sure you hear it. Jesus. All right? We have come together to worship Jesus. He is the source of our salvation. It says, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim His salvation. And we don't want to get into political gabble and garble. We don't want to talk about anything that would distract us from that in this time of worship. That is why we gather together to praise. We have been saved. And if you're here today and you haven't been saved, we want to make sure you understand you need it. You need salvation. You are a sinner that has committed evil acts against your great God. And you need to be forgiven of that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, so, well, how dare you try to tell me I'm evil? I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. These aren't my words. These are God's word to us, because He wants us to know we've got a need. He wants us to know that. When I went out hunting, I went out in my little cheap $10 Walmart Black Friday special boots. My toes got cold. Very cold. That afternoon when I went out, I borrowed another pair of boots. My toes were warmer. You see, I realized I had a need. And thank goodness Brad had an extra pair of boots. Brad saw my knee too. He saw me shivering. He said, man, we need to go in. And he gave me a different pair of boots to help keep my toes warm. Friends, when we as the body of Christ see people that need salvation, we have to share with them the source of salvation. We have to share with them Jesus. Now, what is easy to do is we get together and we spend more and more time with believers, we begin to think, well, it's all about debating and getting the proper things. And let me get you right. Theology is important. But in worship, one of the driving things, the driving focus should be on Jesus. Listen to what Paul said in Timothy. He said, don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed the whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. If we're not careful, we get caught up in the wrong discussions in church. And what the Bible is telling us, it's reminding us that our focus needs to be on love and God and faith and doing everything we can to stir that up in one another. Because that's what's going to impact people for eternity. It's not going to be making sure you totally understand every bit of the triune God, in which we want you to do, which I will preach about from time to time. But it is about getting you to understand that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came and died on the cross for your sins, that you might be forgiven of your sins, and you might be raised to a new way of living by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul puts it this way, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. And now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is to be focused on the message of the gospel. And we want you to understand something today. No matter what sins you committed, no matter how far you strayed away from what God wants you to do in your life, today Jesus Christ is here. He has come. He has lived the perfect sinless life. He has died the sacrificial death on the cross so that you might have forgiveness of your sins. And if you will place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you will find forgiveness and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is here for you today. That is here for you today if you would just believe and trust in Him. Now, as God writes through 1 Chronicles, the writer of 1 Chronicles, he also lets us know that worship is a time to focus on God. It says, proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. His wonderful works are among all peoples. For the Lord is great and highly praised. He is feared from above all gods. And so we understand that worship is an opportunity we have to set our focus on God. I really was blessed through the worship this morning. Because I thought the songs helped us to focus on God. To understand and to celebrate the glory of God. Look at this passage of Scripture that we have here in Psalms. It says in Psalms 29, ascribe to Yahweh, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due His name. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of His holiness. Worship is to be focused on God. It's to help us focus on Him and get rid of all the distractions. Have you ever heard that song, there is no God, there is no other God but our God? Why would we waste that time when there's only one God? Because there are plenty of other gods that are worshipped. Notice what he says. He says right here, there's only one God. He says, we come to worship God. The Lord is great and highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. I went down Monday to a pastor's conference in Bowling Green, and we had a man come that shared with us, a former Muslim who has come to Christ and now is a Christian brother. You may not understand totally the worship of Islam and the religion of Islam, but understand something. It's not a peaceful religion. No matter how many times you might hear that, understand that it's very clear. It's very clear in their writings that it is okay. In fact, it is appropriate and encouraged that those who disagree with them, those who do not believe in Allah, that they would be beheaded. I mean, that's in their writings. Their writings promote lying to those that don't believe in Allah. And their writings even invite wives to lie to their husbands. Husbands, it's okay for you to lie to your wife. These are some of the teachings that are in there. But one of the things he wanted to drive home to us, one of the things he wanted us to realize and understand is Allah and Yahweh are not the same God. They're not. It's easy to think, well, because they are descendants of Abraham and so on, that somehow they worship the same God. They don't. And we need to understand there is a distinction between us, because let me tell you something, they understand it. There is no God but God. And we gather together in His name. We must set our focus on Him. We must ascribe to Him the glory due His name. Look at what it says in Psalm 96. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know the one true living God. I'm glad to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm glad that the Spirit of God revealed that truth to me back when I was 11 years old, and 10 or 11 years old, and I came to a saving faith of Jesus Christ. And I am so glad that the Spirit talks to me and helps me to understand and distinguish between that which is good, that which is God, and that which is idolatry. Friends, we come together to worship God. May He be the focus of our time together. Now, one of the neat things that God does for us, and we're going to talk a little bit about the personal aspect of worship, but worship is also a time where we celebrate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a time to celebrate with one another. You see, we celebrate with the family of God, and we come together to worship in His name. Look at what it says here in our focal passage. It says, "Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." He's saying, I want to gather together with all the people that are followers of God, and I want to worship with them. I want to celebrate with them. When we come together to worship, we come to worship together as the family of God. I love this church family. I was talking with Brad out there. You know, there wasn't much else to do since we didn't see any deer. He really picked a hot spot for me, I tell you. Appreciate it, brother. As we were talking, I said to him, I said, you know, I can't imagine wanting to worship anywhere else but Piner. I said, when I retire, y'all are stuck with me. Because I love this family. I love worshiping with you. This is a special place for me. I would invite people to come to this church if I wasn't the pastor. I would. Because there's a special spirit here that I've never experienced in ministry in my life up to this point. I'm not saying it should be unique. I'm saying it is unique. And I hope that everyone here experiences that too when you come together to worship. Because there are special folks here. And I want everyone to have that kind of experience with the brothers and sisters, with the family of God that is present here. You look at the Old Testament, it talks about some of the symbolism that is supposed to be there and the things that they did in the early Old Testament church or Old Testament worship of God. It wasn't the church yet. But listen to what it says. It says here in Psalm 133, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony." Isn't that special? Isn't it special when you go to a church and there's not a bunch of garbage going on? There's harmony. There's unity. That's when it's special. Look at what he says. "It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down through Aaron's beard on his robes." What a weird picture that is. I mean, when you pour oil on someone's head, it just sort of hits everything and flows through it all as a garbled mess. But he's wanting you to see the harmony that's there. This merging together of the people of God worshiping in unity and harmony. Here's how it's described in a devotional that I found. It said, "Worship brings God's people together as a family. The oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, speaks of celebration and happiness. We too find joy when we experience our unity with brothers and sisters in the family of God." I look forward to seeing you on Sunday mornings. It's not because I want a bunch of people here on Sunday mornings. Because I like you. I really do. I enjoy seeing you. I look forward to this time together to see my brothers and sisters. I don't see all of you during the week. Some of you I see from time to time. Some of you I don't. Haven't yet. But here's what I know. When we come together as the body of believers, this is a special place. Is a special group. And I love being in the presence of God's people worshiping God. I love it. Look at what Psalm 68 says. It says, "The righteous are glad. They rejoice before God and they celebrate with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Exalt Him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh, and rejoice before Him." We come together to rejoice together and to be part of the body of Christ together. Ann Ortland wrote a book on worship, and as she wrote this book on worship, she was trying to give the portrait of what it means and how it should be pictured. And she said, you can sort of put Christians into two different groups. One group is marbles. The other group is like a cluster of grapes. They're grapes. She said, when you put marbles together, the only time they interact with one another is when they're clanging off one another, right? Some of you folks remember playing marbles when you were kids. You know, you just, all they do is bang off one another. They don't mingle. They just separate and they clash all the time. And there's some Christians, they're just that way. It's like that's what they want to experience today. Let's see how much conflict I can bring, and they don't understand that it's a time for harmony and for blending together. But she said, there's that special time when you come together and worship with brothers and sisters in Christ, when you're like grapes. And she said, she pictures this idea of these grapes being mingled together, the juices flowing and mingling together. And here's what she goes on to say. She says, the early Christians didn't bounce around like those marbles, ricocheting in all directions. Picture them as a cluster of ripe grapes squeezed together by persecution, bleeding, and mingling into one another. Fellowship and worship, then, is genuine Christianity freely shared among God's family members. It's sad to think of how many Christians today are missing that kind of closeness. Sermons and songs, while uplifting and necessary, provide only a part of a vital church encounter. We need involvement with others too. If we roll in and out of church each week without acquiring a few grape stains, we really haven't tasted the sweet wine of fellowship. Let me tell you, I leave here blessed. It's fun to come to church at Pioneer Baptist. It's just a blast. It's even more fun than sitting out on a log in 28-degree temperatures with snow falling on you. But even that was fun, because I was with a brother. You know, there's something special about the body of Christ. And it happens in worship. It's something that everyone should experience. And those of you that are our guests, I hope that you have experienced it already. If you haven't, I hope that you'll experience it before you leave, because we want you to know that love. We want you to know that harmony. Then we look in Psalm 40, verse 16, and we read these words, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, 'The Lord is great.'" We say it together. We honor God together. We unite in one voice. The Lord is great. But worship is not just coming together corporately. It's understanding and realizing that God is big enough to meet each one of us individually too. Isn't that neat? That somehow in this place, though we're many here today, I don't know how many, but you know, 150 to 200, something like that, as we gather together to worship in this place, God is speaking to each and every individual personally. And He's wanting you to know that as you focus on Him, He is focused on you. That's pretty special stuff. You see, that's what we want you to understand. Worship is personal fellowship with God. Do you fellowship with Him? Do you enjoy special times of focusing on Him? Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. You were called by Him into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I love the fact that my God wants to spend personal time with me. We went out Thursday afternoon in my new warmer boots, different jacket on. And as we sat there, we sat there and nothing. Nothing. But you know what? God is everywhere, right? So we're sitting there and just being as quiet as you can, because if you make any noises, those deer are going to run away from you or stay hidden. And as I'm sitting there in that silence, all of a sudden, be still and know that I am God. I begin thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to preach about Sunday? I knew I was going to focus on worship, and as I'm just sitting there meditating on the beauty of God's creation, all of a sudden I get the outline, pull out my phone, type it into the notes, and I turn to Brad and say, well, at least I got a sermon outline out here today. That's better than a deer anytime, you know. It really is. No offense, but it is better than a deer. I hope y'all think it's better than a deer after we're done here. But God is personal. Isn't that crazy? I'm out in the middle of the woods, sitting on a log, and the God of the universe speaks to me. He can do that. He does do that. He's doing it here this morning. If we'll listen, if we'll tune in to Him. Look at what it says in 1 John. It says, we testify and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with whom? The Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon, most published man, I think, in history, said this about worship. He said, my happiest moments are when I am worshiping God, really adoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and having fellowship with the ever-blessed Spirit. In that worship, I forget the cares of the church and everything else. To me, it is the nearest approach to what it will be in heaven. That's what worship should be. There are times in worship where I've felt the presence of God so strongly in the songs and in the worship through the message that is spoken, that I just know that God is there. You know, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There are times when that happens, and those are special times, like Charles Spurgeon said, where I think it's as close to heaven as we can get in this life. And that's one of the things we hope to happen. Hope happens when we worship together. And then our final passage we want to look at today, Genesis. It's an interesting passage of Enoch. I sometimes make a joke that says that Methuselah was born, and after that, Enoch walked with God. I think it's funny that Enoch must have been, or Methuselah must have been such a bear of a child that it turned his dad to God, you know. But look what it says. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. And Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. Enoch had personal fellowship with God like none of us probably have ever had. Except for the unique thing that now we have the Spirit of God actually living in us. And it puts us in a personal dialogue with God that Enoch never had. But as we think about that close fellowship, I think it's incredible that God wants to have that with each and every one of us. You say, well, how is that possible? Yesterday, Angel and I drove down to Bowling Green. And praise God, it wasn't because we had to do something with a house to get rid of it. We went because we had a son that was singing. And we went to a concert, and he was singing in a group of only 11 young men. Most of the time when those 11 young men were singing, my son was just singing background music. But you know where my focus was most of the time? On my son. Today, we are getting ready to travel down to Campbellsville University here at All-State Junior High Choir. There will be over 100 kids, I think, in this choir. If you've ever gone to one of these choir concerts like this, every parent, every grandparent, every cousin, everybody is there looking for one person. And I'll be sitting there next to Angela and her parents and Sarah and Joshua. You know who we're going to be looking for to walk out? Do you see Hannah? Where's Hannah? And then you know who I'm going to look for second? Brooke. There's going to be over 100 kids up there singing, but my focus is going to be on one or two or three of them. And I'm going to swear that I can hear them over all the rest. Why? I'm Hannah's father. That's who I notice. Friends, when you're a child of the Heavenly Father, He notices you. He sees you. He cares about you. He's concerned for you. And when we worship, all of a sudden something corporate becomes amazingly individual as the living God speaks to you. So I want to ask you a question. Is your worship focused on God, or is it focused on yourself? Is my worship focused on God or focused on me? Don't miss out on what worship is about. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You that the God of the universe that spoke it into existence, Lord, that actually formed us in our mother's womb, the God who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, the God who called out to us through His Holy Spirit and made us aware of the fact that we are sinners in need of grace and mercy. The God who did all of these things is here today, and He is individually calling each and every one of us to grow in our walk with Him. For some, it's a matter of accepting the peace that passes all understanding. For some, it is a call to healing. For some, it is a call to salvation. For some, it is a call to repentance. But Lord, for each and every one of us, You have a message for us today. So as we come to this time of invitation, this time of decision, this time of commitment, I pray that You will help us to hear that message for me. That each individual will hear that message that's specially been given to them today. And as we come to this time, that we will respond in obedience to our Heavenly Father the way that You have spoken to us. For some to come and bow in prayer, for some to come and recommit their lives, for some to join with the fellowship here at Piner and begin ministering together in this special body of believers, for some a chance to come and make Jesus Lord of their life, to make that commitment real and personal. Lord, help us with 150 to 200 different needs today, 150 to 200 different messages. Help us all to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Softly and tenderly, He's calling. If God is speaking to you, if there's a decision you need to make public, come right now. As we stand together, as we sing, come. So.